Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm an organizational management consultant and life coach. Welcome to the Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. This is episode 27, Virtual Empathy. Please like, share, and subscribe. This is going to be a podcast that we all need because we've gone from a relational in-person world to suddenly virtual. Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm a consultant for organizational culture and available to speak to you and your team by Zoom. Contact me today, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's A-L-E-X-I-A @theresilientpathway.com. Like, share, and subscribe to our podcast. Hello, and welcome to our presentation on virtual empathy. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, many of us have had to adjust to working from home and virtually. This is very new to a lot of us. We have had a learning curve to the point where we needed, these are the things that you need to be aware of when you are on Zoom. And so we did learn from that, and like how to look into the camera instead of look to who we're speaking to, because we're so relational and we're so used to that body language one-on-one. So acclimating to this virtual world is an adjustment. And then we had some Zoom bombers, and we're making adjustments with that. The CEO of Zoom, you know, quickly addressed that and took responsibility and for our safety. And so it was great to hear him talk about those changes. And so how do we connect and keep that human connection? Because when I go out, we are 6 feet apart. And when we're in line, we're not looking at each other. We're not having the small talk. We're just so full of fear and awareness of the social distancing. And if you're like me, I'm thinking, oh my, I hope nobody coughs or sneezes while I'm here in the store or close to them in the line. And then I think about the cashiers because they just have to stand there regardless if someone is coughing or sneezing. And in East Tennessee, it's season now for allergies. So we have that dynamic as well. And then we have the weather change. It was beautiful and warm, and then it got kind of chilly, and now it's getting warm again. And so that just causes a cold in a lot of people anytime you have to adjust. So we're dealing with a lot of adjusting, a lot of change. We're missing the human contact. We're sending virtual hugs. And how well are we conveying that when we have to make important decisions and communicate it? When there's disappointing news, how are we conveying that human connection that we care as we fulfill our roles as leaders? So that's what we're going to talk about, is empathy. What is empathy? So we're going to begin by defining it. Then we're going to talk about how can we show empathy online? What does the research show? There's some interesting studies. And then empathy, healthy habits. So So get out your pencil, your pen, and take some notes. Or if you're online, take some notes, because this is a real skills building how to, because we're adjusting and we're building new skills. Empathy. There are three kinds of empathy: emotional, cognitive, and compassionate. Not all empathy looks and feels the same. And this is identified by psychology. I may not necessarily know how another person is feeling. I may not have gone through a similar circumstance. However, I am putting myself in their position, and I'm saying, you know, I care about you and I validate what you're going through, and I'm here to listen. So that is empathy. Sympathy, we've been there, we can relate. And so empathy, and we get emotional. And definitely we have thoughts. And then compassionate, it moves us to action. What does the research show? Now, the Harvard Business Review wrote an article, and they titled it, "The Reason We Need to Use the Word We and Not I in Leadership." And there's a study that they base this on in the Journal of Language and Social Psychology. So pronouns help to signify a speaker's focus on attention. When people feel insecure, self-aware, or diminished, they're more likely to focus their thoughts, feelings, and behaviors inward. So we're adding when we are in crisis as well. We're looking inwardly. Indeed, studies suggest that people manipulated to focus inward often increase the rate of first-person singular pronouns, such as I, my, me, used in their speech. By contrast, the researchers theorized that individuals using first-personal plural and second-person, such as we, us, and you, ought to demonstrate an outward focus considering the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors of others. So there were five studies. They explored the ways that relative rank is revealed among individuals in small groups through their natural use of pronouns. Okay, so in the first experiment, four-person groups worked on a decision-making task with randomly assigned leadership status. In studies two and three, two-person groups either worked on a task or chatted informally in a get-to-know-you session. Study four was a naturalistic study of incoming and outgoing email of nine participants who provided information on their correspondence relative status. The last study examined 40 letters written by soldiers in the regime of Saddam Hussein. Computerized text analysis across the five studies found that people with higher status consistently use fewer first pronoun singular and more first-person, plural, and second-person singular pronouns. Natural language use during group interactions suggests that status is associated with intentional biases, such as the higher rank is linked with other focus, whereas lower rank is linked with self-focus. So is it that the lower rank is insecure and self-focused because they're trying to feel more secure and talk about themselves? Individuals with lower status overwhelmingly tended to use first-person singular pronouns, I, compared to individuals with higher status. The study's results implies that higher status individuals do demonstrate an others' orientation significantly more than lower status individuals. And lower status individuals appear to be more self-oriented. If you want to know more, Google Harvard Business Review. If you want to be the boss, say we, not I. There's another study. They tested if going online displaces face-to-face time and negatively impacts empathy. Internet usage, face-to-face time, and empathy were measured in 1,390 young adults. Going online had little impact upon empathy and improved face-to-face time. Video gaming reduced empathy in both sexes but did not reduce face-to-face time. virtual empathy was positively correlated with, but lower than real-world empathy. The highlights. They tested if going online displaces face-to-face time and negatively impacts empathy. Internet usage, face-to-face time, and empathy were measured in the 1,390 young adults. Going online had little impact upon empathy and improved face-to-face time. Video gaming reduced empathy in both sexes but did not reduce face-to-face time. Virtual empathy was positively correlated with but lower than real-world empathy. So people can show empathetic responses to others online, but at the same time, empathy has been declining in young people since the technology-based communication has become prevalent. So I'm just wondering what's going to become of this, that the professions now, we're having the trainings and meetings online. So not just young adult gamers are going to be studied. Hopefully they'll do some study on the different generations and how we're adapting this and what we're struggling with, and compare it to the individualized in-person empathy. Displacement of face-to-face time by online activities would be expected to negatively impact empathy skills. And there's little direct empirical research on this topic. And so these researchers really wanted to know the relationship between internet usage and empathy.
Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details. Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
1,000 young adults completed an anonymous online questionnaire that asked about daily media usage, real-world empathy, virtual empathy, and social support, and demographic information. The results showed that going online had very small negative impacts upon cognition and effective real-world empathy, and actually improved time spent in face-to-face communication. Video gaming reduced real-world empathy in both females and males, but did not reduce face-to-face time. So we just need to recognize we don't have to give up on empathy because we're virtual. So what are the empathy healthy habits? There are 7 that we are going to look at. Being fully present with others. Empathetic people have a way of making you feel like you're the one and only person in the room. When they interact with someone, they give that person the gift of their full attention and respect, which is rare in today's hyper-distracted world. So how do we apply this virtually? We need to be able to look in that camera. So for me, my camera is the green dot. And just reminding myself, that's where the person is. That's where their eyes are going to be looking. And so I'm looking into the camera. I'm 100% focused and present with them. So I'm not looking away. I don't have my phone near me or any distractions. Which at home, naturally, we're going to have some distractions that are out of our control. However, what we have in our control, like looking at our cell phone if we get a phone call, we just need to put that up. Now, if there's kids and pets And a spouse, we necessarily can't control the little kids. They might run around and want to see us, especially if we're in meetings all day. And people understand that we're not being distracted on purpose. And so it's just being very intentional to say, I apologize for that. I'm fully here, and making that intention known. Habit number two, they've mastered the art of active listening. To truly support someone, you must first understand that person. Empathetic people take the time to understand their counterpart's priorities, preferences, and motivations. So asking, what is important to you? Why is it important? And what is your why? Why are we here? What gets you going in the morning? And what makes you smile in your life? This requires listening non-judgmentally and leaving our assumptions at the door. Empathetic people use active listening skills to gain insight, including reflecting. What I'm hearing you say is, it sounds to me like, okay, so affirming, smiling, nodding, brief verbal affirmations like I see, and encouraging, and then. Empathetic people tune in to nonverbal communication. Communication runs deeper than words alone. I've heard it said 2/3 of communication is nonverbal. So I used the example when I was in Rio and a lot of the people did not speak English. However, they're very communicative with their body language. And so am I with a Greek background. And so we were able to understand each other amazingly. And even I was on the bus and there was a lady, she said, but how? And finally she spoke English. She didn't want to speak English because I don't know how comfortable she was in her ability. And she told me she was married and her husband was American and they lived in Rio. And she was questioning me. She said, how did you understand everything? And how did we understand you? Because I was speaking English, the ladies on the bus, they were speaking Portuguese, and they were trying to help me to get off on the right spot because the bus just goes and doesn't tell you what stops are coming up. There's no map. And so they understood where I wanted to stop because normally I had landmarks because I was doing tourist things. And so then suddenly it's like rush hour and this whole group comes and this lady, she's like telling me to move. And I'm standing and I don't know where to move to. So I'm moving to the back of the bus and the ladies who were helping me were in the front of the bus. And they're like saying to me in Portuguese, don't go, because they don't want to lose me. And for me not to know where I'm going, because I'm like a kid. I'm like a 50-year-old kid who's traveling. And so then the lady, she's kind of impatient, like, come on, go. And then they start explaining to her, yelling from the front that, no, she's an American. She's a tourist. She doesn't understand. She's trying to stay with us. And so the lady took it upon herself to help me. And so then after that, the lady who initially was helping me made her way to the back. It was almost her stop. And you have to exit through the back. You enter through the front and you exit through the back. It's very orderly in Rio. And so that's when she spoke in English and was baffled by how we understood each other during the whole scenario. And so I was explaining 2/3 of communication can be up to nonverbal. So what's important when we're communicating is to watch that body language, to watch our own body language, how we're delivering what we're saying, because it's not just what we say, it's how we say it, and also to notice that other person. If they are beginning to tense up, pull away, dodge eye contact, these are clues that we need to really use our empathy skills. Now, being virtual and online, we may not pick up on all of it because something may be distracting them that has nothing to do with what we're saying. So reach out and repeat and say, I just wanted to revisit that and hear your thoughts. And that way we're opening it up to a collaborative conversation. So rather than ignoring the emotion, so let's say that it was not a distraction and we're noticed watering of the eyes, or some tension, maybe the hands, we can see the hands. We want to, with kindness, ask them to describe what's happening. This gives people the freedom to share their feelings openly, knowing they won't be judged or criticized. Letting emotions flow freely can be a gateway to productive problem solving. And that's why we communicate, because we are going somewhere with it. We're listening to one another. We're problem solving. And if there's conflict, it's most important to listen as the leader and to reflect. That goes a long way in conflict resolution. There are some exercises where one person does all the talking and then the listener does all the listening, and the listener's job is to reflect back. So we're practicing empathy. And we can do this with online Zoom meetings with employees to resolve conflict and build those conflict resolution skills with virtual empathy. So then, you know, after the first exercise, they trade places. And there's always going to be one person fully listening and the other one fully speaking. And the one who's listening is reflecting back. So they're not allowed to bring up their point. They're just reflecting back what they're hearing. Now, that takes skill and that takes patience, because we're not used to that. I was raised in a Greek family. We get our emotions out. We talk about it. Sometimes we yell, we get loud, and then we feel better. So it's nothing like this. And it's very cultural. So there are definitely cultural implications. And what we have found most effective is to help us practicing the listening, because of the human connection and the empathy that we all need. Pause. This is number four. In an effort to be helpful, we often jump in to finish people's sentences, offer advice, or interrupt. Empathetic people know how powerful silence can be. They don't interrupt or talk over people. They think before they speak. This is so key to empathy and validity, because just think about it, when someone has interrupted or spoken over us, how we felt. It didn't feel very connecting and caring. And we all have done this. And it's just developing an intention and a habit to get in the habit of pausing, to be okay with some silence. Being a therapist for over 20 years, we call it therapeutic silence. It's very good to leave that space. Because we want to give that other human being a place to process and think and feel, and not try to deflect that feeling. And so giving that pause is really important. And it's also giving us some pause to think before we speak. How many times do we just speak and we were like, oh, that I didn't mean for it to come out that way? How many times do we send an email and it didn't come across as empathetic, and we were in a problem-solving mode? So I'm going to give an example, and in no way am I being critical. I'm just going to talk about how I took this on email. So there's a business contact, and this person had come in contact with a supply, and they had it in bulk. So I emailed them and I said, I saw your email. I need one of what you have, and this is the reason that I need it. I realize you are selling to businesses with this amazing bulk order. If you can come across one item, please let me know. I hope you and your family are well. And then comma, semicolon, meaning a smiley, best Alexia. Okay, so this is the response. And so when we're thinking of what was this, and it didn't come across well on email, is number five, well, giving advice. Don't give advice. And listen. So this person went into advising mode. All I asked for was for one item. If you do come across it, because I realize that's not what you're offering and that's not what you're doing, and it's really out of your realm. I'm just giving you the heads up. This is why I need it. It's, for me, very urgent. It's not even for me. It's for a loved one. And this was the response. The order takes about 2 weeks to get. First come, first served. Some places might have this. Call ahead tomorrow. By the way, this person is making this homemade. Please check with her. Okay, so it kind of hit me like, oh, I checked in with you. Hope you and your family are well. There was, and I actually talked about a family member and a need that they have. No reflection back of, oh, you know, I realize that you're going through a difficult time, or I realize this is a special need. Let me keep my ears open for you, because I already acknowledged, you know, I understand you cannot meet this need because you are bulk ordering. So it hit me because it was like, especially the first come, first serve. So I'm using that again as an example, because so many of us will go into that problem solving mode when the other person just needed some validation and just to be heard and listened to. And that is a skill. And especially with email communication and virtual online, to take a step back and pause and listen. So replace giving advice with asking questions. This is a great way to do it. Instead of offering our opinion, empathetic people ask questions to better understand another person's perspective, like, how do you feel about it? Can you tell me more? What do you mean? What would be helpful? What do you make of it? They speak in terms of we, not me. Empathetic leaders shift to talking about how they'll actually tackle challenges as a team, speaking in terms of we and us, so other people feel empowered and supported. So this is, again, supporting that research that we want to say we, that our language matters. That's why we focused on it so much, because there's not so much research on the virtual empathy and how can we quickly adapt and develop these healthy habits. And it shows we need to say we are in this together. I was in a Zoom training today and with HR managers, and the question was, you know, how has there been sacrifice? The two HR managers that I was speaking with, they as leaders had sacrificed more of a pay cut than the employees. And that spoke volumes of the shared sacrifice during this time of worldwide pandemic and crisis for companies. And so to help the team get it in perspective, as well as the shared and even taking more sacrifice than the employees, you know, is saying this is a way that we can all keep our jobs. This is a way that we can all keep our benefits, because if we don't take this percentage cut, then we will have to look at some other decisions. So they've kept that empathetic touch with their teams by even sacrificing more. Number seven, imagine the other's point of view. Empathetic people practice a skill called perspective taking. In other words, they step up into other people's shoes to imagine what fears they might be facing. So anytime that we become angry or combative or question is because we're afraid. And right now, we are all afraid. And we're in crisis, and we can't process as much data as we do when life is going status quo. We process about three things, where status quo will process about seven things. So remember that we are in fear, and we may react to something, and it's not exactly what's being said to us is because of all the stressors, and it just became overwhelming. So we want, at that point, especially if we're getting a reaction, is imagine their point of view. What are they struggling with? What are they afraid of? Can they feed their families? Can they pay their bills? I was on Twitter. There was a famous public speaker. His TED Talk had 6 million views. And he tweeted, he said, "For the first time in my life, I had to tell my landlord I cannot pay rent. I have 3 children to feed." He tweeted this because he got a real compassionate response from the landlord, giving him some space and being very understanding. Because this public speaker said, "Everybody's canceled. I have no work and we're in crisis." So that was an excellent response. How do we build this skill? Imagining the other person's point of view. Do this exercise by ourselves internally to assume that person's point of view. Especially when dealing with a difficult person, it's important to assume positive intent. That is, give people the benefit of the doubt that they're coming from a respectful place, not a malicious one. This mindset can do wonders for our mood and ensure that we stay in an empathetic state. Even if we have moments when we're less compassionate than we'd like, following these habits can help us keep what's important at the forefront, and that is connection. We say it many times, connection is the key to well-being and happiness, according to multiple studies. And that's why at this time of crisis, take a step back. Don't focus on the behavior, the reaction, the anger. Just imagine, what could that person be going through? What could they be afraid of right now? And take a pause and moderate our response. So we need one another with this. We need one another's patience with this. Empathy is a great skill to build. And we are conducting interactive Zoom webinars to build this skill with teams. Contact me today, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's A-L-E-X-I-A @theresilientpathway.com. Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm a consultant for organizational culture and available to speak to you and your team by Zoom. Contact me today, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's A-L-E-X-I-A @theresilientpathway.com. Like, share, and subscribe to our podcast.
Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.